Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Off and running, our fourth and final hour here on Sports Talk on WWL, AMFM, and.com. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Your pregame Saints rituals. Also, which side of the ball will win the game Sunday for the Saints? Offense, defense, or special teams? Coming up at 720 tonight, Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. And, of course, the Saints in a divisional round playoff win over the Philadelphia Eagles. The Houdat Nation and the fans in the Superdome reached a decibel meter reading of 128 decibels. Now, I went through, looked in the internet. So IAC Acoustics has a comparable chart. So I'm going to go through that. So 150 decibel levels is an aircraft, a jet takeoff within 25 meters, and that'll bust your eardrum. 150 decibel meters. At 25 meters, it's a jet takeoff, and it could rupture your eardrum. Now, that's sustained, but think about that. The record for the loudest venue in the NFL is set by the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead a couple years ago, 142.2 decibel meter reading. That's like being on an aircraft carrier deck at 140 decibels. Now, 130, the Saints didn't quite get there last week. Military jet aircraft taken off from an aircraft carrier with an afterburner at 50 feet. That's the equivalent, 130 decibels. The Saints kind of hovered between there and a thunderclap, chainsaw, or an oxygen torch. Painful, 32 times as loud as 70 decibels. 110, which I've seen the Superdome sustain 110, 115 through my time in that building during Saints games. That's equivalent to a steel mill, an auto horn at 1 meter, 3 feet, turbo fan aircraft at takeoff power at 200 feet, a riveting machine, or a live rock music concert, 110 decibels. So you guys have experienced that. I'm sure a lot of you have been to some concerts that are hovering at 110 decibel meters. At 100 decibels, jet takeoff at, let's say, 600 feet, the use of an outdoor outboard motor, power lawnmower, motorcycle, farm tractor, jackhammer, garbage truck, or a Boeing 707 DC-8 aircraft at 1 mile, basically, before landing. Jet fly over 1,000 feet. So there's the decibel meter comparisons. I want to go back to the two the Saints were flirting with, the Houdat Nation was flirting with in the Superdome. Registered at 128 decibels. So that's in between a thunderclap or a chainsaw and a military jet aircraft taking off from an aircraft carrier with an afterburner from 50 feet. Can you get to the aircraft carrier deck of 140 decibel meters? That's kind of the benchmark for the Saints, for the Houdat Nation. If they get to 150, that's a jet takeoff at 25 meters. That can rupture your eardrum. I know, I can tell you from being on the field for a lot of games, crowd noise. I'll give you an example of kind of what it feels like after the game, you're removed from the game. You're at home. And you guys can probably relate to this because the noise level on the field opposed to if you're in the first row, in the lower bowl, not all that different, but I remember several times after leaving the Superdome, I'd be home for an hour, 2 hours after the game, and I could still hear the roar of the crowd in my ear, that strong presence. You can still hear it in your ear for several hours after you're out of that building. I don't know. I just wanted to bring that up. Jake Madison coming up next. Nola Jake on Twitter, Locked On Pelicans podcast, taking a look at those Pels next here on WWL. Got a text here at 870-870. Challenge Saints fans to break the noise level record and become champions of the loudest fans ever. I don't have to challenge them. I don't have to challenge the Houdat Nation. They know. They'll bring it, whatever they can get. If they get 142 and break the Chiefs, that's fine. But just be loud. Just be loud. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast at NOLA. Jake, friend of the program, joining us now. And Jake, they hung with the Warriors last night by seven. Is there any silver lining to take from that?
Yeah, you know, I actually thought, despite the loss, that the Pelicans played really well in last night's game. They were actually leading the Warriors by, I think it was 7 or 8 after the first quarter. They were coming out energetic. You saw great defense. The problem defense the first half for them. They kept it close throughout the game, and it really kind of just was a stretch where Steph Curry went just off. He hit 6 straight 3s. A lot of that was over double teams where basically no one else in the world or in the history of basketball hits those kind of shots, and he hit 6 of them. When he does that, you're not going to do much. Scoring 140 in a loss shouldn't feel like a silver lining, but for the Pelicans team that struggled a lot throughout this year, you had to like what you saw. And if they play like that, they're going to win basically every other game that they play.
They go on the road, stay on the road. It's part of a 5-game road trip. Pelicans against the Trailblazers tomorrow. And then Grizzlies, and then they're back home against the Pistons. I read that wrong. But nonetheless, what has to happen here for the Pelicans? Can they get the next two?
Yeah, they have to, basically, if they want to stay afloat in the Western Conference. They're still about 3.5-4 games out, depending on how tonight goes. And your time to drop games or have losing road trips is over. And this is the cost of starting the season slow and not winning as many games as you should have, that the margin for error has become so razor thin for this team. They basically need to go on pace better than what they played last year if they want to continue on in the season and match their win total from last year. So you got to go into Portland, win this game. You got to go on the road to Memphis, win, and then you got to win at home against the Pistons, like you said. So I think the next two on the road are winnable. They give them a 3-2 road trip, which, all things considered, given the teams that they've played there, that's pretty good. Portland's a bit of a challenge. They're better than they were last season, but we saw how New Orleans handled them in that 4-game sweep in the first round last season. With the way Anthony Davis has been playing, and he might be the best player in the league right now, not named James Harden, who's just been going off, they have a very good chance. Drew Holiday matches up well with that backcourt. I think if they can get that win, they're going to feel really good about their chance to win in Memphis, who's been on a downward slide over the past couple of weeks.
What do you feel good about, Jake, about this team, and what has you scratching your head?
You know, what I felt good about is this team in the second half, and that kind of goes into why I scratch my head about this team at times. If you look at them in the second half, they actually have a top 10 defense. Defense has been what's holding this team back. And collectively on the season, they rank in the bottom 5 defensively. But in the second half of games, and in the third quarter in particular, they're a top 10, top 5 team. Why they're not able to come out of the gates like that is kind of the big question. You see it on occasion. They started well against the Clippers. They started well against the Warriors. And then sometimes that goes away, and it takes kind of a chewing out in the locker room at halftime for Melvin Gentry to wake them back up and get them to play like they need to do. If they've been playing defense for 4 quarters like you've seen them in the second half recently, this team would be significantly better than what they have been so far, and we wouldn't be stressing about the playoffs. They all say the right thing. We need to come out better. We need to focus on defense. Yet game after game, you don't see that happening. So they know what's wrong. Why aren't they able to just overcome that or figure out how to kind of account for it? When really, when it comes to defense, it's more about effort and trying and just not being lazy than it is a lack of talent on the team.
Jake Madison at NOLA Jake on Twitter, Locked On Pelicans podcast. And Jake, I've heard some folks that are covering the media, I haven't heard you say this yet, that are covering the Pelicans that are basically saying if the Pelicans don't get their act together and make a postseason run again this year, then AD's a gone pecan. Do you agree with that?
You know, I think it's more likely than not. I don't listen to kind of what goes on with Anthony Davis and the links to the Lakers and Celtics because, frankly, no one else can trade him other than general manager Del Demps and the ownership of this team. So all the rumors linking him to other places don't really matter because he's here in New Orleans And I can tell you very certainly they don't plan on trading him this season. However, he's talked openly about legacy for a number of years now. A lot of those comments have been in the media a little bit more recently, but he's focused on that. It's not just leaving a legacy in New Orleans, but it's going down as one of the best players to play the game, that kind of legacy. You have to win titles if you want to be that guy. You need to have sustained success in the playoffs. And in his time here in New Orleans, he's only made the playoffs twice. And they're in danger of not making it again this season. If he wants to go down as one of the best to ever play the game, it's likely that he's going to need to win his titles elsewhere because this team has not shown him that they're capable of delivering on that for him. So I think that's why this is kind of coming up. You know, you never want to go into a season with a superstar player in the last year of his deal. It becomes harder to trade them and get any good pieces in return. And the return is going to go down every day they wait while he's under that final year of the contract. So if they're going to trade him or if he says, hey, I've done enough here, I want to go to a different place, that's when they're going to look to trade him this offseason, likely right around the time of the draft when they're going to be able to maximize the return. But I don't think anything's decided yet. You can hear him when he speaks, how much he really likes this team, how good he thinks they can be when they're healthy. They get into the playoffs. If they make some noise into the playoffs, I think there's a chance that he stays. I think he truly is focused on just this season right now, trying to tune out the distractions. But it's on him and the Pelicans to show why he should stay here.
If you did have to trade him, what could he fetch? What would be a reasonable expectation as to what they should get in return?
If they're looking to trade him this offseason, this quite possibly is maybe the best player on the trade block in the past two decades of the NBA. And I would expect the return to be significant. The teams that have been mentioned have been the Lakers and the Boston Celtics. Those are the two teams that clearly want him. And have been kind of hovering around the Pelicans waiting for the opportunity. And they have a number of assets. The Lakers have a lot of young players that they've drafted over the past couple of years. The Celtics have that as well, and they have multiple first-round picks from theirs and other teams. I think if the Celtics were to look into trading for Anthony Davis and both these teams are trying to get a deal done, you should be expecting something like three first-round picks coming back to New Orleans along with another player or two, maybe a guy like Jason Tatum, who they drafted third overall 2 years ago, and looks like he's going to be a star in the NBA. Maybe Jaylen Brown taken 1 year before him, and another complimentary young piece that has room to develop. You know, no matter what, they're going to get a very good return on Anthony Davis, and they'll have their option of which deal to take because every team in the league will at least offer something up to bring them to bring Anthony Davis to them.
Yeah, Jake, the only problem is the fan base for the Pelicans is, I would say, fickle at best, right? I think that's a fair way to put it. Just because, you know, the Saints are rolling right now, and it's kind of like one of those deals where, hey, when the Pelicans are winning, they'll be there. But they would be scorned again by the CP3 deal and then by the Anthony Davis deal. I think that would really, really turn off a lot of fans.
I think so, too. And I think in particular with the Chris Paul deal where they had that introductory press conference for guys like Eric Gordon, Chris Kaman, and Al-Farouq Aminu who came over in that trade. None of them looked really excited to be there. You know, everyone's seen that picture of Eric Gordon just basically frowning because he didn't want any part of this whatsoever. But if you can get bring a guy in like Jason, he's a very marketable young star. We can throw those guys in the Chris Paul trade. I think you could maybe retool this team pretty quickly. You'd still have Drew Holiday here. You may have Mirotić or Julius Randle still here. You add Tatum into the mix alongside a couple of other young players. It could be a pretty fun, exciting team to watch, and certainly they wouldn't necessarily fall out of playoff contention entirely depending on the return that they get. So, yes, you know, I think people would tune this team out for a little bit. It'd go through another period of you need to show me it's worth kind of investing in you as a fan, my money, my time. But I think with the right return, it could kickstart a rebuild and put them on a path to contention much quicker than it would be otherwise.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear you. And I kind of thought the same thing when you were describing what they could fetch in return. But I don't think that this fan base wants to go through another, hey, prove it to me kind of deal. Make sure that it's worth it for me to invest. I mean, it's another reset button that the Pelicans would have effectively pressed in the last, I don't know, 10 years twice. It would have been twice in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I think what goes along with that is you're going to need to see some actual accountability with the front office. Del Demps is one of the longest tenured GMs in the league, and I don't think we can necessarily say that his tenure has been even average at best. during his time in New Orleans. You know, when Anthony Davis was drafted, the over-unders were not, will he win one title? It was, how many titles will he win? Because that's how hyped he was, and he's lived up to that hype coming into the NBA. You know, with that, you'd have to clean house, really show some accountability, and show to the fans, who do have kind of a bit of an inferiority complex to the Saints, that the Pelicans don't matter nearly as much to the Bensons, that you need to kind of have that and really be able to sell them on a clean slate starting fresh. It's going to be rough. You know, I've talked to a number of other people around the league who cover other teams that when these teams go through rebuilds, what do you need to do? There's certain steps they would need to take, and I think that's kind of what you'd need to do to try and bring fans back. You've got to lower season ticket prices. You need to introduce other things that can really kind of get those fans early on. People, I've learned, really like to be at the start of something. They want to be in on the ground floor. If you get the right return, you lower things, and you kind of build the marketing out around it, I think they might be okay, but certainly it's not going to be like what it is right now.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast, at Nola Jake on Twitter, friend of the program. And Jake, before we let you run here, man, about 90 seconds, I know your Pels is your deal, but you got to be loving the energy that's in this city surrounding the Saints ahead of Sunday's NFC title game.
Oh, it's been wonderful. The city's just far more fun when the Saints are making a deep playoff run. So I've been enjoying this. I'll be watching on Sunday, and I will be screaming and cheering too.
Yeah, make sure if you somehow get in that building, it's No Voice Monday. All right, Jake? It is No Voice Monday. So make sure you exercise your vocal cords. And if I have to talk to you on the radio and you're a little raspy next week, I'll excuse you. You know what I mean?
It sounds good to me. I think I can definitely do that.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast. What's coming up? Where can I get it?
You can get it wherever you get your podcast from. Just search Locked On Pelicans. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, Google, all of those. We're going to be talking about the minutes that Anthony Davis has been playing, that Drew Holiday's been playing, looking at some trade targets potentially for this team, and previewing the game over the weekend.
Good stuff, Jake. Thanks, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Christian.
You bet. Locked On Pelicans podcast, at Nola Jake. Jake Madison. After our CBS news update, your phone calls at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. And if you missed what VR said about rematches and the home team and the favorites, you might want to listen. You might want to stick around, because I got something that will probably blow your mind that he recited. Pretty interesting. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Final half hour here on Sports Talk, live at Hooters on Vets and Metairie. Am I reading this right? Like, you guys know that my disdain with the LHSAA. And this one out of the Shreveport Times spoke to Eddie Bonine, the executive director. And this is a quote from Eddie Bonine. "We know that 98% of you are doing exactly what you're supposed to do, and we appreciate that. However, we're on pace for more than $100,000 in fines, and I don't like that number. The policies in place are working." So he's saying 90% are doing what they are supposed to do. So you're getting $100,000 from 2% of your member schools? Something doesn't add up with that for me. That stinks. And if you're getting $100,000 in fines, the reason why is because there's an incentive to fine schools if there's no program of where that fine money goes. If it goes right back into the pockets of the LHSAA, then there's an incentive, a built-in incentive, to fine schools. And the policies are not working. It's clear. Anyway, save that a little bit for another day. Just wanted to get that off my chest. You guys know how I've felt about the LHSAA for months now. By the way, I want to take this opportunity on a little bit of a somber note. My condolences, our condolences, to the D'Amico family, Tony D'Amico, part of our WWL prep football coverage for a decade, as long as I can remember, as long as I've been working for WWL, more than a decade, passing away yesterday from cancer, losing a fight with cancer. And my condolences, our condolences, going out to the D'Amico family. And if you ever interacted, I'm sure there's some high school coaches out there that might be listening, or other prep reporters out there, some of his colleagues. If you ever interacted with Tony D'Amico, you fall in love with him immediately. Just what a genuine human being, great guy, It meant so much to him. He loved Friday nights during the prep season. It made his day. It made his week. And he poured himself into the work. He had a passion for high school football that was kind of unrivaled. He loved it. He will certainly be missed. And once again, Tony was awesome. He had that great accent, the typical New Orleanian accent that he just loved. Certainly, Tony D'Amico will be missed. Prayers for the D'Amico family. We called him Tony D. Did Friday night coverage for us as our color analyst during our online game of the week. He passed away yesterday. Services tomorrow for Tony D. All right, I don't know if you heard it earlier. Vegas Runner, our view from Vegas, dropped a bomb of a stat about about playoff matchups from rematches in the season. Take a listen. That's Vegas Runner, pro bettor and handicapper at the big moves, at Greek_gambler on Twitter. This guy doesn't just dream this up, doesn't pull it out of thin air. He relies on information like that to place bets for a lot of people and win money for a lot of people. When I heard that, it gave me a little less trepidation or nervousness about this game. Because when you have a large sample size like that, and you have the results of 67%, almost 7 out of 10 times the team playing the rematch and is favored, that won in the first game in the regular season, they win again. That's an eye-popping stat from Vegas Runner that should encourage you about the Saints-Rams rematch in the NFC title game. 3.5-point favorites on the Saints. The bottom line is, who cares if they really cover? Just got to win. But when I heard him say that, I was really taken aback by it. It'll be a fun atmosphere. It's going to be awesome to see Sunday in the Superdome. My second NFC Championship game that I've ever been able to cover. The third for that franchise. I mean, they're making history here. This regime under Sean Payton is doing things that Saints fans have long clamored for and suffered dearly for. Let's enjoy it. Let's go have fun. Enjoy these moments because you don't know when they're going to come around very often. You just don't. So the Who Dat Nation, they're gonna do their part. The players have to do their part and go out there and win and beat the Rams on Sunday. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Like right here. Does VR stats take into account missing a key defensive lineman and an injured offensive lineman? Well, the offensive lineman, by the way, every offensive lineman had a full day of practice today. Now, you're talking about Sheldon Rankins. Yes, there's some... Those numbers matter because I'm sure those games have had a key player or two in those games injured that they didn't play in the original game. It's all relative. It's happened in this game. Aqib Talib didn't play for the Rams. Marcus Davenport didn't play for the Saints. And so Ted Ginn Jr. didn't play for the Saints. So there are wild cards, X factors in there, if you will. But I just like those numbers. I think if you try to split hairs and say, oh, is he considering Sheldon Rankins? I don't think it really, in that case, in those numbers, it matters because it's had instances like that with other teams that have been missing a player, a key player, or two. We'll see if it has an impact on Sunday. Sheldon Rankins will certainly be missed. There's no doubt about it. He was having a career year. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Give me your game day rituals, superstitions. And what makes you nervous? Bobby Hebert says he's nervous about this game. What makes you nervous or what makes you confident? 504-260-1870, text 870-870. This is Sports Talk here on Saints Radio, WWL. Hey, Who Dat Nation, how bad do you want to win or be there when the Black and Gold battle the Rams at home in the Superdome in the NFC title game? Today is Saints Championship Thursday. Saints Championship Ticket Thursday, I should say. I'll give away a pair of tickets. When you hear Bobby's Who Dat chant, I'll give you the number to call. Caller 8 wins with a pair of tickets to the championship game. Saints versus the Rams. It's Saints Championship Ticket Thursday only on the flagship WWL. Mac in New Orleans. What do you say, Mac? You're on WWL.
Yeah, well, I wanted to find out if they fixed the decimal meter and how we're going to know effectively if you're going to be able to go over the 130, because the max was 130 from what I understand.
The max dangerous levels at 150, you bust your eardrum. But you want to get above 130, 140? I'm sure the Superdome will have a meter up there that's going to encourage and show the active decibel meter reading.
Because it can only read to 130. Is that right or not?
Wait, what'd you say?
My understanding was it can only read up to 130. Anything over 130, they can't read it. Is that true?
I'm not aware of that. I'm not aware of that. But I know at 128 last week, it was giving the system a hard time. Almost crashed. Jay and Marrero, what's going on, Jay? You're on WWL.
Yes.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah, look, I just wanted to tell you that I just had this thought that maybe there's a contingent to get together and go out there and find out when the Rams land in a plane and get right there and harass them the minute they get off the plane. And find out where they are staying and harass them. I mean, in good fun,
you got to
let them know that they're not going to win a game here.
Yeah,
I draw the line,
Jay.
Land.
Jay, I draw the line at the idea of going to their hotel and
well, I mean, you know,
that
might be a little drastic, but off the plane, let them know. Let them know when they come here that they're not going to win a game here. No way.
I like where your head is, man. I like the thought. You know, if you can find out when they're landing. Typically, West Coast teams come in 2 days before the game. So I would imagine they'll arrive tomorrow. Maybe that might leak out as to where or what time the Rams land on Friday or Saturday. They could choose to come in one day before. Interestingly enough, this is their third trip to New Orleans, the Rams, in a calendar year. Played them in the preseason, the final week of the preseason, regular season in week 9. Now here in the NFC title game this Sunday right here on WWL. Cannot wait for this ball game. Fans First Take starting at 10 a.m. with Seth Dunlap and Steve Court. Then it's the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff with me and the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, starting at noon. Kickoff at 2:05, the voice of the Saints, Zach Strieff, along with Deuce McAllister, Robert Carroll, and Stephen Geller. And look, it's going to be an electric atmosphere in the Dome and outside the Dome. Come hang out with me and Bobby in between gates A and B of the Mercedes-Benz Superdome on Sunday. Earlier, we were talking the importance of protecting the football in this game. But for me, it's also the Rams running game that's been on fire here recently. Can they slow them down? If they can't, it's going to be a long day. Jared Goff is going to have a good day. He's a much better quarterback when they can do those play-action boots and play-action pushing the ball down the field. That'll be a bad sign if you see the Rams having success on the ground. If they don't, you make Jared Goff beat you. And that's what you have to do. As crazy as that sounds, because I think that Jared Goff is on his way to being a franchise quarterback, you actually want him to beat you because you have Drew Brees. And in this game, who do you trust more, Jared Goff or Drew Brees? The answer is number 9. He wears black and gold. He's the NFL's all-time passing leader. Had a great year. I trust Drew more. Put the game in the hands of Jared Goff. If you're the Saints defense, if you can force that, your chances of winning go up greatly. I don't think it's a high-scoring affair like it was earlier in the year, 45-35 Saints win. I just don't see that. Over and under is 57. If I were betting, I would take the under. I think both defenses are going to have something to say about this game. Give me your game day superstitions for the Saints. Also, what makes you nervous? Or are you confident about a Saints win on Sunday against the Rams? 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is Sports Talk here on WWLAMFM.com. WWL congratulates Daniel Brown. They will be our guest at the Saints-Rams NFC Championship game on Sunday, January 20th, in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Enjoy the game and go Saints from the flagship WWL. winding down here on Sports Talk Live at Hooters on Vets. Before we push out of here, I want to thank Greg Gibson and his fine staff over here at Hooters on Vets and Metairie. Also, our on-site engineer, Todd Jacobs, back at Master Control and on at Sports Flash, Mark Menard, Stephen Geller for helping us put together the program, and Michael Motti for joining us for the Players Show. And Mark says the winner, Daniel Brown, Mark, he was quite stunned to become the winner, huh?
Yeah, he said he was, you know, just kind of sitting at home listening to the radio and was like, you know what, let me give this a shot, let me try it. And he called and he got in. He got the lucky line, and he's going to the game. It's going to be a hot ticket.
Oh yeah, I mean, have you seen the average price on SeatGeek and other venues where people can get tickets?
I have not, but I imagine it's astronomical at this point, being Thursday.
It's insane. I'll pull it up before we get out of here. But Mark, I want your thoughts on AFC, NFC. Who you got? Who you picking in the NFC and who you picking in the AFC?
In the NFC, I'm picking the Saints. You just look at the history of Sean Payton and Drew Brees, playoffs in the Superdome, 6-0 all time. There's a reason for that. That's because this is a formidable home field advantage, and I have no doubt that the Saints fans are going to make life hard for the Rams come Sunday. And I think for the Rams, because of what we've talked about, you know, all week long with how Sean McVay is kind of in Jared Goff's head and almost piloting him like a robot in terms of reading the defense for him and kind of giving him the answers to the test, so to speak. I think in this case in particular is one of the few cases where the fans can truly, truly have an impact on this game if they make it hard for those calls to come in from the sideline. So if then it puts it all on Jared Goff. You know, he's only in his third year. How is he going to handle that type of situation when all of a sudden the voice in his head is silenced? So I'd pick the Saints in that game. And then for Chiefs Patriots, you know, as many times as we've wanted to call the demise of the Patriots dynasty over the years, it's so hard to pick against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in a game like this, especially when you've got, you know, I know he's not a rookie, but this is Patrick Mahomes' first go around in these type of games. I know Andy Reid's been there before, but he's also lost it a lot of times before in the past as well. You know, I feel like it's probably I've been waffling on this one all week. The Patriots are, because the other thing is the Patriots have not been good on the road when it comes to AFC championships. They've lost their last three. If you're gonna put
remember the stat by VR.
Oh yeah,
just remember the stat by VR. It doesn't apply in the AFC championship game because the Eagles. I mean, the Chiefs lost to the Patriots in the regular season.
If you're gonna put my back against the wall right now. As much as I'm going to go against my own advice here, I think it's going to be the Chiefs. I think the Patriots on the road, they're not the same team, and I think it's going to be a Saints Chiefs Super Bowl number one versus number one.
Two of the most intimidating venues and the best home field advantages in the National Football League. Give me the Chiefs. There's some warts on that Patriots team. They've got some holes, and I like the Chiefs. I like the Mahomes magic and. He's ready for this stage. He is ready for this stage. I like the Saints home field advantage. Drew Brees over Jared Goff. I'll take that any day on Sunday, all day on Sunday. So for me, but I just looked up SeatGeek. Listen to this: the cheapest ticket price on SeatGeek in section 646. That's up in the rafters, row 24. Two tickets, $250 each. That's the lowest for this NFC title game.
That's the Stairmaster section of the dome. You're gonna do some climbing.
Yeah.
You could do some climbing to get to that seat.
Listen to this. Section 141, row 33. A stack and a half, $1.5K each.
That's for the high rollers.
Yeah, and now that's not even the highest prices that we've seen. Yeah, that's about the highest price I've seen. $1,500.
I think it's safe to say it's the hottest ticket in the city this weekend.
Yeah, I'd say. Right now on SeatGeek, too, the lowest price of the Super Bowl, it's averaging $3,428.
I will see your Rolling Stones Jazz Fest tickets, and I will raise you the NFC Championship gift.
Mark, great job as always, man. Thanks for helping us out here. The last lap with Seth Dunlap is up next. The fans and the pros tomorrow with Zach and Deuce. Until game day on Sunday, I'll see you, Who Dat Nation. Go enjoy this atmosphere. It's special. It's fun. I'm Christian Garrick. See you guys Sunday. Semper Fi. I am out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.